Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Welcome to Crying Aunt. My name is Jeannie J, and this week I'm talking to the absolutely hilarious
Grace Mulvey
about the Senegaya murders. To have you on. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me. I know nothing about these murders, by the way. Like, and I am a true crime fan, so I'm very excited to hear about this.
We were just discussing how we're both into the true crime. This is just an insane one. It's completely nuts, and I could not believe that I hadn't heard of it either. This is one that takes place in Japan. I don't know, have you ever been?
No, but we had to become really obsessed with TikTok lately. Sorry. I'm like 32 and I feel like an absolute granny on it. But they have so many. I follow this account about Japan and I am now obsessed with Japan. They make it seem like the most amazing place. It's obviously it's Japan tourism.
But it does seem pretty cool. I know the culture of Japan is just so interesting, like even from a historical perspective. But then also, like, I'm just so into that whole like Hello Kitty thing. And
yes.
I mean, Tokyo just looks like an amazing city to visit.
Do you remember when Gwen Stefani went through that really weird phase with, what was it, the Haragashi girls? Yeah, very questionable cultural appropriation. But, you know, like it was a really weird phase where she just had 4 Japanese girls on stage with her all the time, and I was always like, what is and they never spoke. I was like, are they okay?
It was really strange. It did kind of reek of a hostage situation. To be honest, I don't know much about Japan either, so maybe that's why I hadn't encountered this one before, but it's just a mad story, so I'm going to dive right in.
Okay.
So on December 30, 2000, the Maezawa family enjoyed a quiet evening at home. It was the time of the new year, which is obviously, it's a very big deal everywhere, but it's a very, very big deal in Japan. The dad was this guy called Mikio Maezawa, who was 44, and he lived with his wife, Yuzuko, and they also had 2 daughters. So they had 2 kids, a daughter who was 8 years of age called Nina, and they also had another 6-year-old called Ray. Now, basically, this is just, it's an absolutely insane story. It's just totally crazy. So on the 31st of December, the following day, in this very quiet suburb of Tokyo, so the Zedegaya Ward was the name of the suburb, a really quiet, kind of well-to-do suburban area, very safe, the whole family were found dead in their home. So the following day, they were all found dead in their home. The little boy had been strangled and the other three family members had been stabbed to death. So based on the investigation, what detectives could ascertain was that the killer had gone in through the bathroom window of the house, and that based on the time of death, the timestamps there, that he had suffocated the little boy Ray in his sleep. So they're thinking what happened was, based on where the bodies were, that Mikio had been working in the study on the first floor and maybe heard something. So he climbed the stairs where he essentially encounters the killer. They fight, and then the father's body is found at the bottom of the stairs, having been stabbed to death.
Okay.
The killer had this long thin blade with him, which was called a sashimi knife. So I presume that's what you make sashimi with.
I was just about to say, it's like, also sashimi, would that not be like almost like a butter knife?
I'm surprised. Yeah. I mean, so apparently this knife is like really, really sharp. It's a very sharp blade. And again, based on the times of death, it is believed that he then went and attacked the mother, Yuzuko, and their 8-year-old daughter, Nina. So absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
The attacks were so violent that the sashimi knife actually got broken. So he left and went into the kitchen to get another knife. And there's this really tragic detail that the family's first aid kit was found open at the scene with some of the daughter Nina's blood on the plasters. Just awful. So they think that maybe when the killer left the room, that the mother and daughter thought that maybe he was leaving. So the mom went in to get plasters to bandage up the little girl. But he actually came back to kill them. So the whole thing is just absolute nightmarish stuff. It's protracted. It's not a swift killing. It's very considered, very deliberate, very calculated.
Right. And like, okay, so obviously if it's calculated, either it's like what, a person who knew the family?
Well,
vindictive, like, you know what I mean?
This is the thing. So one detail as well is, and if you're into true crime, like, you know, you probably like, you know, heard of this before. He actually had covered the faces with cloth while he was killing them, so he couldn't look at them.
Oh, God.
Yes. Christ. So, you know, again, that kind of suggests like a personal, you know, maybe a personal connection, but also that he felt some level of guilt that he couldn't look at them while he was doing it. But that kind of, I suppose it's at odds with the brutality of the murder then. It's kind of contradicted by just how violent the murder was. Like, but yet he couldn't look at their faces. It's just so strange.
But the fact that he like, as well as the mother, that he would have like stabbed the mother and daughter and then left, and they would have thought, okay, we're actually going to leave. For him to come back, so that weird, that's not really guilt. You know, as you said, like not being able to look at the face, it's not really guilt. It's like a weird premeditate. You know what I mean? Like, the thing is like,
maybe
well, I'm going to kill you. Like,
I'm probably giving him too much there, but you know, the idea that he couldn't look at their faces, that he kind of maybe had to divorce himself from the act itself or something. It's just, it's a strange disconnect. And Yuzuko and Nina's wounds were particularly savage, which suggested that maybe he had some issue with women and girls, or other people postulated that maybe he was targeting Yuzuko directly, that maybe that's why they had more stab wounds on their body. But there was a definite difference between, like, say the little boy had been suffocated in his sleep, and the dad then obviously accosted this guy, and based on where the body was at the end of the stairs, they were like, okay, they obviously got into some kind of fight. But then Yuzuko and Nina, it just seemed really deliberate. It was very, very particularly savage the way they died. Yeah. So the whole thing was just very weird, obviously insanely weird. And it's almost like it was, as I said, you know, that there was a personal vendetta there, but then people were talking about just how savage the killings were. They were suggesting maybe it was a professional. But the time of the family's death was placed at 11:30 p.m. on December 30th. The murderer, the murderer was hurt at some point because his blood was found on a packet of plasters. But after killing the family, now this is when things get really crazy. He didn't leave. He hung around.
What?
Yeah. He stayed there overnight, Grace, for the whole night.
What?
Yeah. He hung out in the house all night. Now listen, it's madness. I mean, it's just so bizarre. He opened their fridge. He ate food from the fridge.
I literally went, that's so rude, yeah, in my head, as if the rudest thing wasn't the murders. That's so rude.
It is always annoying when a visitor calls round and they're straight at your fridge. You're like, okay, back it up, because that's a very personal place to me. Thank you. Oh,
yeah. Make yourself at home. Yeah.
And like, obviously, so he opens up the fridge, he eats food from the fridge. He then wandered around the house eating ice lollies, throwing them in the bin in the study. And then other wrappers were also found in the kitchen, which again just pointed to the fact that he was essentially just hanging out in the gaff, chilling out after this insane killing spree.
That is the weirdest. And also the fact that, like, obviously this guy didn't care about being caught. Like, as in, like, you know, like, someone would have covered their tracks. This guy's, like, literally, like, oh, all the DNA I can leave. What else could I do, you know, to help them?
It's very, it's really strange because, well, we'll get to the DNA in a minute, because this is just such... I cannot believe I hadn't heard this case before, because it just gets weirder and weirder, the whole thing. So he then went off and he logged onto their computer between midnight and 1 a.m. So he browsed the internet for a few minutes. They know that he went to a theatre company website, which had been bookmarked by his wife. Yeah, it was this website that had been bookmarked by his wife, Yuzuko, by the wife, Yuzuko, the mom. And he actually, it's so strange, he actually tried to buy tickets to a show.
Oh my God.
It's mental. But isn't it mental? And I mean, like, I don't know, you know, maybe he was looking for alternative plans for New Year's Eve. We're always, you know, we're always looking for something else to do. Let's face it, other than the usual when it comes to New Year's Eve. But the whole thing,
his like New Year's resolution was to see more theater, live theater.
He was like, you know what I need? You know what I need? I need more arts in my life. That's what I need. So just bizarre. I mean, just bizarre. So his fingerprints were found on the mouse, but not the keyboard. So they think maybe he was just like, you know, the way you're just clicking through things without really thinking. But then again, sometime in the morning, he used the computer for 4 minutes. He visited the webpage of the dad's company and the son's school. And then again, I mean, it's just so hard. I mean, you can't make sense of any of this behavior. He then pulled the cord out, which led to the computer. So he knocked the computer off. But I mean, his DNA was obviously still on the mouse and everything. He had, when he entered the house as well, when he entered the gaff, he cut the phone cord, which of course is, you know, a common occurrence. He used the toilet, but now this is, whatever about anything else, this is really unforgivable. He used the toilet, didn't ever dough. Okay, didn't ever tell.
Yeah.
Didn't flush.
Oh my God.
What a sicko. Whatever about anything else. We
that
know.
Actually the height of rudeness.
I mean, we're between opening the fridge, you're doing a number two in somebody else's loo without flushing.
Oh my God. And I also, mental, does he know what DNA is? Like, I feel like this guy's like.
I mean, It's mad, isn't it? He really is leaving so much for investigators here.
What I will say as well, you know, like thinking back of him, it's a weird thing that he didn't use the mouse, like that he used the mouse but didn't use the keyboard. Because like, obviously he just wanted to see what they were looking at. But also, I find it bad that like, back in the day, like that probably would have taken ages, because what, 2000 was a dial-up. So like... You would have been sitting there trying to buy those tickets for like 12 minutes. Do you know what I mean?
Remember
like,
that noise?
Yeah.
That's my attempt to dial up. It's hard to do a dial up. Before you start judging me, listener. No, I totally, you're spot on. I hadn't even thought about the dial up situation.
Yeah. It's not like now where it's like, oh, this was going to be really easy. This was like back in the day when you sat down at the internet, it was like a big deal.
Effort. You know, they say 4 minutes at the computer, but now that you say it, it probably took 4 minutes for the page to load.
He was probably just like turning it on. The dial up took 4 minutes and then he went, ah, Beckett, I'm going to go do a poo.
And you know, we've all been there. Yeah. And that's why, do you know what? That's probably why he took the lead out of the computer, because he was so pissed off at the dial up. He was like, oh, FML, fuck my life. This is just too slow.
This is bringing back so many memories of me being on like the Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan webpage.
Oh my God.
When I
Buffy.
Was like 12. Yeah.
Were you a Buffy head?
Oh my God. Like, I was part of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer official fan club. I paid money to be part of it.
That is gas. When we did Up to 90, the wonderful Martha Gilheeny, who's actually a stylist, I'd say you'd love her stuff now. She's just really brilliant, and she's an amazing person. But she has her Instagram and all that crack. But she was a member of the Buffy official fan club as well. And when we were doing Up to 90 and talking about the 90s, she came on to talk about Buffy. And myself and Emma thought we knew a bit about Buffy, but then we quickly realized we know nothing about Buffy. I mean, she's a feminist icon.
Oh yeah.
And now in terms of the number two situation.
Okay.
The poo poo, okay, the SH1T, as my mother would refer to it, the SH1T contained traces of sesame seeds and string beans. Now, this food was considered, look, we're not criticising the police here, but I suppose to be fair, the police were really floored by this crime because, Tokyo is a relatively safe city in Western civilization terms. It's, relatively safe city. This is a particularly safe suburb. They were floored by it, but they presumed this dinner, it was kind of a mammy dinner. So they presumed then that this might indicate that he was a bit of a mammy's boy. And some detectives believed that the killer was someone who lived with his mother. They also thought...
Really? That's an interesting thing.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, that's very strange.
It's a bit of a leap. I mean, I don't know, like maybe it would be the equivalent of if you could work out that somebody had eaten something like bacon and cabbage.
I was literally about to say coddler bacon and cabbage.
Yeah. It's not a dinner you're going to make for yourself. It might be the equivalent of that, that is something that like an older generation would make. So that's why they're thinking in that way.
If they found like Madeira cake or something, then they're like, that man lives with his mother. There's no way.
Let's face it. That Madeira cake would be found in your body years after the fact. Like your skeletal remains would be exhumed.
Yeah.
The Madeira cake would be there, like not digested even a little bit. I mean, that's Madeira cake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That stuff is just to stay in you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
But actually, that is a really good analogy, Grace, now that you say it, because I suppose, like something like that, you would be thinking, okay, that's not something a young person's going to go off and buy. It's something.
Or if he's like a single man. Like, I'm sorry, but a single man, I'd be like,
exactly.
Okay, so like, we found Supermax in his stool sample. You know what I mean?
Listen, there you go. Yeah. Don't even talk to me. Every time Fred goes off to film the Tommy show, I'm like, did you get a Supermax? And then he's like, no. And then I'm putting a wash on and his pockets are just full of Supermax napkins. I'm like, why do you lie to me? It's almost like he's going off. It's almost like he's going off visiting sex workers or something, and I'm just taking out these receipts from his pocket.
I love the thought that a receipt from a sex worker like that.
I know, like what? I really, you can tell I haven't been to see a sex worker in a while.
Just you do like a handwritten receipt.
This week, we are promoting our friends over at Spice Bags podcast. If you fancy checking this out, head over to headstuffpodcast.com. It's a really deadly one. Multicultural host Blanca Mayan D ask the big questions like, how did one enterprising Indian expat create a market for Indian cuisine in Dublin? Why are so many Irish cheeses made by women? And what makes Irish tea different from that in the rest of the world? As well, if you fancy contributing to the production costs of Crimeland, we are being funded solely by listeners. Not to brag, but I am currently running at about €7 income a month. So if you fancy topping that up, the link to that website is in our show notes. But even better, if you don't fancy doing that, just download the episode, subscribe, and or tell a friend about Crimeland. A quick disclaimer as well that absolutely no offence is meant to any of the people discussed in this episode. And we always strive to discuss these topics in a human and empathetic way.
Spice Bags is a podcast about food in Ireland from an international perspective. Hi, I'm May. I'm an American food writer, and I'm with my friends Blanca, a chef from Spain, and Dee, an Irish food editrix. And we are the Spice Bags, three sassy ladies with a lot to dish up. Join us for the chats.
Now, again, the plot thickens because okay. Estelle is taking a poo, opening the fridge, battling with the dial-up. DNA on the couch also suggests that he had a nap at some point. In the sitting room, credit cards, bank books, Mikio's driver's license, other personal documents were spread out as if the killer had been kind of going through them. And the second floor bathtub, again, like there were more scattered papers, receipts, and really weirdly, some of the mother's sanitary products were spread out, suggesting that he'd used a sanitary towel to stop the bleeding.
For his own bleeding.
Yeah, right. So that's what they were thinking, that like, you know, so there was an opened packet and there was no sign of the sanitary towels. So they were presuming that he put it on his person to stop the bleeding.
Oh my God, that's mad.
Yeah, really mad. And the mother of the wife, so the mother-in-law lived next door, and obviously this poor woman, as far as I was trying to find information, I mean, look, she's obviously, you know, she's kind of, I suppose, receded into anonymity, which is fair enough. But the last article that I read on this, which was from 2 years ago, they did confirm that she was still alive, but she was the one who made the, I mean, how would you ever get, you'd never get over a discovery like that. But she lived next door. A lot of people were saying that the whole thing kind of suggested the fact that he hung out in the gaff. Some people said, well, this kind of points to the fact that he knew nobody was going to come over. I mean, the whole, but then
even the night of it, like, I know New Year's, but like you could have people, you know, like, well, it depends on country. Just like in Ireland, you could have neighbors drop in, or you could have like, you know, family members. I suppose it's late enough.
It is. It's a holiday time. It's the day before New Year's Eve. Like, you would probably think maybe there's a chance. I suppose you're right. I guess people aren't calling over at that time of night either. But then again, like, what I would say about that is, I just think this man sounds like, the whole thing sounds so insane. I don't even know if that would be his thought process, thinking, I'll just hang out because nobody's going to pop in. I mean, it's
the fact that he wouldn't know, even if they had, like, he must have known them, because like, even like, do they have an older kid? Like, what if they had like a teenager who was out?
Actually, that's true.
Like,
yeah,
obviously he knew that.
That's very, very, I didn't even think of that. That's a great point. Yeah. Like, as in, cause obviously an older teenager, again, this holiday period, it's quite likely someone will be coming home from a night out or whatever. So you're right. Yeah. And at 10:45, the night of the murder, the family computer received a work email that required a password to open it, which means that they kind of work out that the family was still alive by then, but that they must have been killed shortly before midnight. And there was this skate park right across the street that had just opened from the family's house. The family weren't happy with this, as they were annoyed by the noise, and they were kind of making plans already to move from it. Now, it's really hard to hear of a skater park and not sing, I'm just a skater, but like, it's very hard to not sing Avril Lavigne when you hear of a skater park.
And Avril Lavigne would have been around at her peak around that time. So,
I wonder, did Avril Lavigne do this?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
It all comes back to Avril. It's either her or Gwen Stefani. That's what I think.
I was going to say it's either her or Ain't No Holla Back Girl. Maybe that's what that song was about.
Yeah. It's all about this murder. Gwen Stefani wants it solved, you know.
It's all about this murder. We have solved the case, Grace. So one witness reported seeing Mikio, the dad, arguing with skateboarders a few days before the murders. Another witness reported seeing him arguing with a bike gang member or bike gang crew. Another thing, the killer left behind all his clothes, which is another strange twist in this. So all So, well, this is the thing. He left behind like a pile of clothes. So like trousers, a top, and all the clothes looked like skater boy clothes and were all folded neatly. They also found this an aftershave spray thing, which a lot of skaters used. It was probably like the equivalent of Lynx Africa for Japanese.
Yeah. Okay. Great analogy. Great one. Yeah, that's
so they said it was something that was like popular with young males, and they found like a bum bag. So again, you know, another crime here, crime against like the man had a bum bag as well. And the clothes were so neatly folded, it just felt a bit staged. It didn't make sense. So they were saying, this just, again, doesn't add up. One theory was that maybe the killer knew the family, had kind of beef with the like the skaters in the skater park. So they knew, he knew maybe that they were pissed off about the skater park situation, and that that's why he was trying to make it look like a skater did this, that this was all part of the plan. Yeah. So that's kind of what people felt. And then based on, this is just, I mean, this is insane. I know I keep saying this, but wait till you hear this. Based on the sand in the pockets of these clothes, they could link him back. Now, I have no idea how they managed to do this, but they could do it. They could link him back to a desert outside Las Vegas, specifically. Yes. Wait for it. Specifically, okay, they could link this sand back to Edwards Air Force Palace, which is unbelievable. So this air base in Nevada, they could link to that military air base. They then found fingerprints, obviously at the scene. They had a load of fingerprints, but they copped that there were these fingerprints, they weren't in the system. Now, any adult entering Japan at the time, I don't know if this is still the case, but at the time, I actually meant to check it, but I forgot to check it. Sorry, listener. But at the time, any adult entering Japan would have to give their fingerprints. So because they didn't have fingerprints in the system, they were like, okay, right, that's interesting. We don't have the fingerprints in the system. So they also did a DNA test and concluded that this guy's mother would have been of European descent and the dad would have been of Korean descent. So the guy is like mixed race. Everything is ultimately pointing to what they're thinking at this stage is that maybe the killer had been like an army brat whose parents were, or parent was in the military.
That is so bonkers. Like, so I'm trying to get, it's like you're giving me a riddle where it's like,
isn't it mad?
They found sand in his pocket from Nevada, but any adult coming into the country has fingerprints. So I'm like, okay, so that means he couldn't have been outside the country to come back in.
It's just, it's mad. Oh, and then, you know, the way I was saying about how he clicked on the theatre website to get the tickets to this, you know, theatre show or whatever. And the mother had been involved in theatre. So the mother in this family, Izuko, had been involved in theatre, was very into the arts. They found this like red, kind of like a fluorescent agent, but almost like a highlighter or something on the clothes that had been left. And this indicated, so this was, I don't know what exactly this was, but they said it was something that was usually involved in stage prop design. So again, that's like a link to theatre.
Okay.
And they found this substance as well in the garage, even though there was nothing to, now this really gave me the creeps, nothing to indicate he had been in there the night of the murder. So then they started to think that maybe he had been in the garage before.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So they're starting to think like maybe he'd been stalking the family or staking out the house prior to all this.
Well, he must have, because it feels like, you know, he was very at home there. So it's like, or like, you know,
That's actually very true. And then, but again, you see, then some people were saying, well, maybe the reason he went on the theatre website was that they wanted, again, you know, maybe he wanted to put investigators off the scent.
Yeah.
It's very hard to make sense of it. All the family Happy New Year greeting cards were missing too. Again, very strange. So all the cards were gone and an old jacket of Mikio's was missing, which would indicate that maybe the killer was wearing this when he left the scene. And this, again, I found this just so hard to believe. They also found that the clothes were washed in hard water, not soft water. So they made out that these clothes hadn't been washed in Japan, which is so crazy to me. That they can act, isn't it mad?
The clothes that he left behind. Do you know what? Like, if they could work this out, it actually, wouldn't you be raging if, like, any other crime that you've been involved in, even if, your bike was stolen, that they cannot find, like, find the fingerprints? If you're able to figure out that sand is from Nevada, find my bike.
Do you know what? You need to say that the next time you rock up to Cabin Teely Garda Station. Listen, let me tell you about this case, guys.
If they can figure out from hard water that these clothes weren't washed in Japan,
it is
you
so
can find my
true.
Bike.
Especially because you're like, but I have my Find My Bike app. Surely you could just, can you just get in the car and drive down there? So despite all these very, very specific clues, you would think this would narrow down the suspect list down considerably. This, believe it or not, Grace, is still an unsolved murder case. They never got the guy. There has been 204,000 officers involved in the case to date. They've received more than 16,000 pieces of information from the public. And even now, the killer remains at large. Oh, sorry, over 20,000 officers involved in the case, which is still a lot of officers.
Yeah, I was thinking 204,000. I'm like, mother.
A quarter of a million. Over 20,000. Still, now, there are a few theories as to who could have done this. So, like, definitely with the military base, a lot of people were pointing to maybe someone who was involved in the US military.
Yeah.
Most detectives put a younger age on this guy. So they felt that he was kind of a younger age in terms of the profiling. So they were thinking maybe that he was related to somebody who worked in the military. They also, now, this is kind of, I think out of all the theories I read, you know, some people said a robbery, but like that made no sense because nothing was taken from the gaff. And like a robbery doesn't, first of all, it's very rare that a robbery is going to end up that violent. And you're not going to hang around either. And
no.
I mean, nothing was taken from the gaff bar the cards, the New Year's cards and the jacket. They were the only things taken.
And nothing seemed panicky about it.
No.
As in, like, you know what I mean? If you're robbing a gaff, I imagine, I haven't done it, but I imagine that like if it went that awry, you'd be like, I'm getting out of here fucking lying.
Exactly. You wouldn't be hanging around making yourself a snack, like lying on the couch, like battling with the diet up, all the rest. But in 2015, this true crime author, and now my apologies because I'm really going to butcher the pronunciation here. So Fumiya Ikehashi released a book. Thank you. I didn't want to say, but I'm kind of fluent, but I just want to play a kill. He released a book claiming that he had uncovered the killer's identity. The author noted that police detectives had found soil at the crime scene that was traced back, again, an insane amount of...
Are you going to tell me it was like traced back to Bethlehem when Jesus was born or something?
And I
was
not
like,
quite. The next best thing, it was traced back to the province of Gyeonggi in South Korea. Also in his book, Ikehashi, who calls his main suspect Or, says that the killer had once served in the South Korean military. In his book also, he said that this guy, Or's fingerprints, which were obtained by the author, don't ask me how you could do that, are a match with the fingerprints left behind by the killer at the crime scene. Now,
surely that would be enough, no?
You would imagine. Now, he makes these claims. Obviously, the police are still working on this. They still view this as an open case. So even though he made those claims, I mean, you know, not to discredit his findings, but I suppose you'd have to kind of take it with a pinch of salt because the police haven't actually followed this up.
Yeah.
And poor Yuzuko's mother is, as I said, apparently as of 2 years ago, still alive. But the house has been vacant since the killings. I mean, obviously, says
really?
He.
Really?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, I know bad things go down in houses and people, you know, go in and they just, you know, it's a new chapter and all the rest, but it would be hard to get past something like that.
Okay, even in our housing crisis,
I know.
Ireland, Judy, do you think right now, if I said to you, listen, like 40 grand, you could buy 40 grand, would you do it?
I think I'd have to say no. I mean, would you?
Really? See, I'm living in Dublin here, like rent and like all.
I know.
I'm like, maybe I could. I actually don't think I could because I am. But I think that I find it hard that no one would, like, at all. You know?
But you know what? I was kind of surprised when I read it, but I mean, I suppose this was just I think the fact that it's unsolved and this guy was clearly a lunatic. I mean, it's just nightmarish. Maybe if they found the killer, people could move on. But I think maybe the fact that, again, a lot was pointing to the fact that this guy was stalking the family and staking out the house. Like, maybe the whole thing just would give you the heebie-jeebies.
I know. Yeah, and I think. Yeah, the fact that it's unsolved, and also, I mean, it doesn't seem like Japan has, like, in terms of homicide that might be related to, like, maybe gang issues, it doesn't seem to have, like, a huge murder.
No.
Rate. You know what I mean? Like, so this sort of thing really shocks
That's actually very true, because it is a safe, it's definitely a safe country. It's relatively safe city and all that. And it's, I mean, yeah, it's a particularly horrific crime. It's, I think what's really frustrating about this is there is so much specific information that they have. It defies credulity that they haven't gotten a guy for this yet.
But you know what sounds from what he sort of left behind, it weirdly seems so staged, in the sense that he has these skater clothes, so obviously knew that, you know, and like knew that they were having, it's like he wants to point them in one direction. Then this random sand that for some reason they can trace, no problem, in his pockets.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's like, and then even like the food that he would have eaten. It's like all these things are sort of like, and then the theater ticket, it's like, it's almost like, it's chaotic. It's almost like you can't see the woods from the trees sort of thing, because there's so much that actually it's like, oh, this could go in a thousand directions.
Yeah, actually that's very true.
It's almost like you can't pinpoint who this person is, because he's kind of giving you so much information that you're like, oh, I don't know which way this could go. You know what I mean? I'm being weird about it, but that's
I think that I know what you, that's actually such a good point, that there's actually so many kind of red herrings here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, so interesting. In a way, he could just be a genius who is like, knows how to get away with this because, you know, by putting, now I'm just like, I feel like, imagine those like copycat killers out there who just use this random Nevada sand drive police crazy. You know what I mean? Where it's like,
sand, they have the link, they have the Lynx Africa. They've got the whole, they're taking a poo. They're taking a poo. They're eating the ice lolly. They're just
like sesame seeds. Like, I'd love if you're like, oh yeah, the shooting of JFK, they found this Nevada sand. Like every time this huge, like famous murder, there's this sand that drives police crazy. You know?
Oh my God, Grace, that is so funny. That is gas. It's the sand.
Yeah. Imagine they sent it to the detective every year, just this thing of sand. You'd be like, oh my God.
Look, ultimately the police actually haven't got their guy yet. So it's still an open case. I mean, we hope they find answers. Obviously as time goes on, it's less likely, but you never lose hope completely.
I mean, yeah, I mean, look at the Golden State Killer, the fact that like something like Ancestry.com or whatever can bring down someone like that. I do feel like we're in the age of, if they're able to get his, I don't know, like
that's actually really,
descent or whatever from DNA, maybe, hopefully, through something like that.
That's actually so true. That's a really good, I mean, because hopefully, you know, there's still hope, and it would be great, you know, to get closure on that chapter. Like there were a couple of things, like a taxi driver said that he gave this guy a lift who was in his over 30s and that he left blood on his back seat, and you know, all these kind of sightings, but not really sightings. It's still an absolute mystery, and that is the story of the Setagaya murders. Isn't it such a good one?
It's such a, I can't believe I've never heard of it.
Isn't it? I cannot believe I hadn't heard of it either. It's, I mean, it's so nightmarish. It's absolutely nightmarish, the whole thing. But just, I could not believe as I was reading it, I just, when you think there isn't going to be another twist, there's like another twist or a red herring thrown in there just to confuse you again.
But that's why I'm like, that's why it seems like almost like this really well planned out murder. Every single thing is so bizarre. The next thing is more bizarre than the last thing, you know?
It's pretty crazy. Now, Grace, you have been such a joy. I mean, you're so funny, so brilliant. You're so great. I'd love to have you back if you come back to me.
Oh my God, definitely. You've got more like crazy ones like this for sure.
But Grace, you're just so hilarious, and you have your own podcast.
Yes. So I have a podcast called Fad Camp. So like Fat Camp, but fad about fad diets. So yeah, I'm Fad Camp. It's a comedy podcast all about ridiculous fad diets that me and the other co-host, Connor Dowling, have tried. And we've just finished our first season, so we're doing a second one. But we cover all topics, fitness, health, and even just TV shows and stuff. But you can hear about the time I did like hypnotherapy for weight loss, or like did this weird like seaweed wrap where I wrapped myself up. Like,
oh my God, I did the seaweed wrap. Yeah. back in the day. Oh, hilarious.
Did they tell you as well, like, to not drink alcohol at the time?
Yes, actually.
They told me to, yeah, which I didn't.
Of course. Look, we were all getting the seaweed wrap before a wedding. So it's like, if you think I'm getting through that without a drink, you are mistaken.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's what it's about. And you can, like, find it everywhere that you find podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all that jazz.
Grace, you're an absolute joy. Grace Mulvey, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for doing Crimeland.
Oh, thank you for having me, Julie.
Bye, Grace. You're so fab. Thank you. Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.